Have you ever felt that you've tried everything and nothing's going to make a difference? Maybe if you're single, you've been on dozens of dates and it gets to the stage where you think you're never going to meet somebody. Or if you're in a relationship and you keep having arguments and you think there's no hope for this relationship. If you've ever felt like that, then keep listening, because in this podcast, we're going to be talking about hope. We're going to be talking about how you can find hope and how it can make such a difference in your life and in your relationships. Welcome to this edition of the Mind, Body and Relationship Maze. And today we're going to be talking about hope. Just to start, just to introduce ourselves in case you don't know who we are, I'm Tom Mackay.
And I'm Angela Dirks.
So hope, well, what is hope? So what is hope, Angela?
Yeah, we had a long discussion about this and we're wondering how we actually define it. And I think we came to the conclusion that it's something around anticipation, around something, wishing for something to happen, expecting something to happen, very often in association with something positive to happen in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And the dictionary definition is, and just let me remind myself, it's a feeling of expectation or desire for a particular thing to happen. So pretty much exactly as you said. And if you think about times in your own life when you've had hope, just for a moment, remember a time when you've had hope about something, if you can remember something. Mm-hmm. And usually when we think of that, there is some particular thing that we're thinking about. So there is something that maybe some internal representation of something we want or something to change, maybe something to do with our relationship or something to do with a job or any other parts of our life. But we have some type of goal that in mind that we'd like to happen. And there's a feeling of some sort of expectation or possibility that we can bring this into reality.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, I really love, as you know, I really love etymology. So I'm always really interested in the origin of words and the meaning of words. And hope in Old English apparently comes from the word from the term hopa, which means confidence in the future. So hope is always future oriented. We're looking ahead. What's coming our way? And it's really interesting because there were a lot of studies, particularly in the 1990s, which looked at hope as a motivational system, as something that drives us to achieve something. Some of these so-called hope theorists actually identified two factors that contribute to hope. One is agency, so the ability to do something, and the other one was pathway. So it's just the ability to do something and also then the way to go about it, the strategy that you develop to achieve something, to get something, to meet the expectations that you have through hope.
Yeah, absolutely. So we need to have those things in place. And I think, you know, in terms of hope, when hope is lacking, that's something that, you know, maybe some of you listening have had that experience where sometimes it feels like there's the opposite of hope, which is hopelessness. And often in these podcasts, we focus on relationships or how to find relationships. And when we think about how it applies in the context of relationships, well, we'll start with, you know, if you're currently single or if you know somebody who is single, well, it can be tough, you know, finding a relationship. It can be really tough finding that long-term fulfilling relationship. And I know somebody that I worked with quite a long time ago, they were single and never had a relationship with anybody until they were 36 or 37.
And what happened then?
Suddenly within the space of a year, they ended up getting married. So they met somebody and it was quite a revelation. They believed that they would never find anyone. They didn't think they'd have any relationship. I mean, I don't think they'd even kissed someone before. I mean, I think it was really that they'd not had any type of relationship with someone before. So this was something that for a long time they believed really was almost hopeless. But they persevered, and through that perseverance, they found that relationship that I think sort of 5 or 6 years later, it's still going very strong. So I think one of the key things as well is that, you know, often in life, we find situations that don't go right. And the question is, how long do we keep trying to make things different? And I think sometimes when we're looking maybe for a partner, for example, like a long-term partner, when we've been on 10 dates, 20 dates, 30 dates, suddenly we get to the point where we think, you know, maybe it's never going to happen. Maybe there isn't someone out there for me, or whatever we tend to use as kind of excuses. Mm. And I think really it's finding that determination and hope, keeping that hope alive that there can be someone there. And some of the questions we've actually been sent around that, like, well, you know, well, I've never had a relationship, or, you know, I've tried for 20 years to find a long-term, you know, really fulfilling relationship, and I haven't. And there's that sense that hope has gone.
Yeah.
And I know as well in my own experience as well, is that, you know, that keeping that hope alive is so important, because, you know, there is the possibility out there. And of course we can't guarantee that you're going to find that person. We can't guarantee that you'll find that long-term fulfilling relationship. Mm. But possibility is always there, whatever age you are, whatever conditions you've been through, whatever situations you've been through, however your life is at the moment, the possibility is there. And it's about keeping that determination and just driving forwards and finding the resources within you to help bring that hope into reality.
Yeah, because, I mean, ultimately, of course, there are a lot of people out there, and I've worked with lots of clients in the past who really have absolutely terrible stories to tell, really experiences which are awful, traumatic experiences that have overshadowed all of their lives. So, you know, some people really have a pretty tough deal in life. But even, and I'm saying even, with people who've had really terrible experiences in life, they often, there's still a driver, there's still a sense of I can go on, there's still something that kind of gets them going, that gets them out of bed every day. That gets them to engage with life as best as they can. Because the flip side, of course, of hopelessness is helplessness. It's this sense of that if there's absolutely no hope, then it's this idea that I have no agency, there's nothing I can do about it to change this, I might as well give up. So, and that's, of course, what you also sometimes get when people get severely depressed, where they really get into a state of helplessness, of not seeing a path, of not seeing a goal, and of not seeing a path out of this situation.
Yeah, and it's how you reflect on that, how you kind of interpret that as well. Because I mean, I remember from old sales quotes, which are a little bit cheesy, but, you know, in sales, like, people are used to getting no's, they're used to getting rejection. And sometimes there's a reframe, which is every no is one closer to a yes. And although it's a little bit simplistic, it is that knowing that, you know, every time that something doesn't work out, having that hope that something can work out is so important, because it's thinking that, you know, we are closer. Each time you go out on a date, for example, you know, you're getting closer to that possibility. Mm-hmm. And it's the question is, you know, how many times are you going to try? How many times are you going to try and make this change? How many times, you know, how long do you put into before you find this relationship? Mm-hmm. And the question is, it's how long you're prepared to, knowing that that hope is there. And I think never giving up, I think, is a really powerful thing. Keeping that hope alive really drives us. And as Angela said, it's, you're having that agency. So agency is so important, because agency is about you're taking control. It's about you're taking action. Mm-hmm. It's about knowing that you're in charge, because the only person that can find that relationship is you.
Yeah, and the same is true of, you know, people who are in relationships. There's often a sense sometimes, particularly, you know, with couples who have been engaged in lots of fighting, lots of arguments, that sometimes get to this point of hopelessness. There is no hope in this relationship anymore. We have to give up, you know, it's not going to work out. So the same is true, really, the same principles, that if there is hope, and of course a lot of the time any couple who comes to me in couples therapy ultimately has hope, otherwise they wouldn't engage in therapy. They're hoping to work things out, they're hoping to work things through, to find a different way of managing arguments, of coming closer again together, etc. So there is agency there. There's the drive and the desire for change, for working on creating a better relationship.
Yeah, and I think that's really important what you said about relationships and arguments, because it's sometimes in when we're having arguments, we get to that point where emotionally we get so wound up, we get so affected emotionally that there's those times where we suddenly think this is hopeless. And it's at those points it's so important to step back and learn how to manage conflicts. And we talked about this in one of our earlier podcasts. You know, learning how to deal with the emotional impact of arguments and learning how to kind of manage them, where, you know, learning how to deal with conflict can actually help a relationship grow stronger. But if you don't learn how to deal with them, if you continually have experience that you have argument after argument, we can fall into this situation where we feel like we're hopeless. So we have that sort of learned helplessness that we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah, which kind of also picks up on two of these issues related to the notion of learned helplessness, which is what really often gets in the way is this idea that sometimes people consider difficulties, difficult, challenging situations as they have as permanent, as never changing. This will go on and on and on. So one focus often in when working through difficulties is to remember that everything changes, that, you know, this phrase that this too shall pass, that there's change, there's continuous change in life. So most situations tend to be temporary, and they might, admittedly, they might get on for, you know, they might go on for a long period of time. You might feel like there's never an end inside, but usually there is. So one principle is to remember that challenges that you have are tend to be temporary. They don't go on forever. They're not indefinite. And the other one is the fact that it's really important to look at them, at the specifics of a situation. What are the specific issues and problems that present themselves, rather than everything is terrible, rather than this idea of pervasiveness that all your circumstances in life are awful. It's really helpful to just focus on the very specific factor that contributes to challenges in your relationship, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, going to that permanence, it's one way to think about this and to sometimes to help is to reflect on experiences in your own life and think about, was there a time that at that time it felt like things weren't going to change, but now, even many years later, it has changed. Things have moved on. When you start to remember that actually there have been times in our lives where things can feel pretty hopeless, but they change. And somehow they do change. Sometimes they change in very positive ways, or sometimes they just change a little, but they do change. It's important to kind of reflect on that and remember that, you know, we've had situations in the past that have been challenging and you've got through them. You have the resources within you to get through the situations. And as Angela said as well, in terms of, you know, how pervasive is this experience, I think, you know, it kind of doesn't quite fit into that category, but it's similar, where, you know, maybe we go out on a date and it doesn't go well, the other person doesn't phone us back. Maybe that happens a few times. It doesn't mean that those situations mean that you will never find somebody. So we don't generalize it to everything. It doesn't mean that you're not attractive. You know, these are things that we might make interpretations based on our past experience. But just because we've had some situations where things don't work out, it's important that we don't generalize this into everything. So, like, you know, nobody will ever find me attractive, or I'll never find a relationship. As soon as we make it kind of encompass everything, we have this feeling of lack of hope. It's just remembering, you know, this date might not have worked, that date might have worked, not have worked. And just keeping going, just knowing that those are those situations.
Yes, absolutely. So focusing on the specifics, and that might enable you to also kind of break down your goals, so to speak. You know, what is it that you want to achieve? What is your expectation to achieve? Where do you want to go? Can you kind of look at it in kind of small steps, starting off with one focus? I'm going to look at this now. I'm going, you know, there's some capacity for me to do this. And then building it up to achieve the final goal over a longer period of time.
Yeah, and some of what we're talking about is, you know, some of the elements are what Seligman, he studied when he was looking at learned helplessness. And he wrote a book called Learned Optimism. And some of his research was, unfortunately, it's not, when you think about it now, it's actually pretty unpleasant what he did. So he was actually experimenting with dogs, and he put dogs into different situations where some dogs were put in, I think they were put into a cage or onto a leash, and other dogs were put into the same situation where they had no way of escaping from this box that they were put in. Mm. And in the different situations, the floors of the boxes were, there was an electric current put through them. Mm. The ones that were able to escape would, of course, escape. Mm. But ones that couldn't escape, for a while they tried, but then they gave up. They just basically kind of sat around and they just lay there like they were depressed because it was this learned helplessness. They just gave up. Mm. And later on, when the roof of that box, or when they were given the chance to escape, I can't remember the exact specifics of how it was set up. They didn't, they just lay there. Yeah. Because they had essentially learned that nothing that they did would make any difference. So this was learned helplessness. Mm. Now, taking that stage further, it was found that, you know, the only way that you could change this behaviour wasn't by rewards or punishments, so in terms of old behavioural psychology, but it was by actually moving the dog's legs in the way that they'd move to escape. Mm. And they had to do this several times. After a while, they would be able to do that. They would start to move again. They would escape. Mm. And having learned that actually they could escape, they would never end up in that same situation again. So in a similar situation where initially they had the learned helplessness, they had this resilience that lasted indefinitely. Mm-hmm. So I think it's when we start to realize that we have situations that we can, that may seem impossible, that we can't get out of, but we find there is a way to get out of them, we build up our resilience. And a lot of this is about resilience. Absolutely. And knowing that there is that hope, there is that possibility of change.
Yeah, and first of all, it's kind of recognizing also that there is the learned helplessness, recognizing what are the factors here that are holding me back. You know, why do I have this belief system? Because ultimately, it's a belief system, isn't it? It's the belief that you can't do anything about your circumstances, you can't escape them. And actually, I mean, just to sort of as a counter argument here, yes, some circumstances really are absolutely dreadful and some people really struggle with a lot of difficulties. So it's not always very easy, maybe on the face of it, to just say, well, I'm going to think differently and then my life will change. Of course, this might be a process, it might take a lot of time, but it's a starting point. And it is believing ultimately in having this capacity to affect some change in your life, which everyone can.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying as well, you know, there are some situations that, that are terrible situations to be in, and that for many people would be completely like the end of the world, or completely where we'd be helpless. Mm. And I've worked with people who have been through the most horrific accidents, or most situations where essentially they haven't been able to, like after an accident, for example, they've lost use of they haven't been able to walk, or haven't been able to kind of use their arms. And some of these people I've worked with, they basically find a new way of looking at things, where they've actually been more optimistic than most people I've actually kind of come across. So it's essentially, you know, it's how we kind of reframe things in our mind, how we kind of see things, how we kind of how we experience what happens in our situations that essentially defines whether we have hope or whether we don't have hope.
Yeah. And also, particularly when we're talking about childhood experiences, as children, of course, we didn't have a lot of control over our lives in many ways. Yeah. So decisions were made by adults, by our parents, by teachers, etc. And there was often a sense of helplessness, particularly, you know, at the hands of very abusive adults in people's lives. So as children, maybe people didn't have didn't have a chance to control their life, didn't have as much agency, but certainly now as adults they do. And I think this is a really important distinction to know, that even if you have been through a lot of adversity in your life, really really difficult circumstances, that now might be the time, today, this minute might be the time where you can start to experience yourself differently and to take charge of your life. And this might be a slow process, it's a process, but it will eventually lead you to find a way out of the difficulties that you have experienced. If it weren't for that, obviously we wouldn't be in the business of being therapists, because that's the work that we do. Yeah, we do enable people to find a way through the challenges in their life and to look at their life in very different ways.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but as I was saying, you know, some of the people I've worked with who have been through most incredibly tough tough, challenging situations in her life and still kind of are in, you know, situations that most people would say they wouldn't be able to cope in, you know, they could be really inspiring. I mean, I've really been inspired by just the way that, you know, some people that I've worked with who, they've actually inspired me to think, well, you know, if they can find a way through the situations that they're in, there's really hope for everyone.
So, absolutely, yeah. I agree, yes. I mean, I've heard some horrendous stories. I can't, lots of horrendous stories about very terrible abuse in childhood, or refugees who've been through war zones and have had horrendous experiences there. You couldn't imagine some of people's experiences in life. It's just absolutely awful. But there are a lot of them are coming, the majority, pretty much everyone I have worked with is coming through and is working on, you know, can work on changing their outlook on life. It's not taking away the experience, it's not taking away the memory, but it's about, again, it's about starting your life from today in a different way.
Yeah, and I think it's important saying, like you said, it's not taking away the experience, it's not taking away the memory, because there's nothing that anyone can do that can do that. And by no means are we saying that, well, you know, you should be thinking positively, you should be making the most of it, because if these are awful situations, and it's just the way that some people find a different way of kind of moving forward from this. And I think you're reading the work of Viktor Frankl, for example, you know, that could be really inspiring in terms of making meaning out of the most challenging situations.
Yes, so that's what we're talking about today. Yes, and hope, of course, is the driver. If you don't have hope, you're going to sink into very frequently into a depressive state where you really struggle to come out. And of course, you know, there's plenty of people who struggle with depression as well. And often depression, the difficulty with depression is that people have given up on hope and they are feeling very helpless. Yeah, and have no sense of agency anymore. No motivation, no way of getting out of their experiences.
Yeah, so one of the biggest questions you might be asking is, well, how do you find hope if you feel that there isn't hope?
Yes, yeah, and it's not always easy. I think I want to be just quite clear here that, you know, we're not sort of saying it's just a really easy thing, and I really don't want to be dismissive of anyone who is experiencing depression, for example. It's very, very, very debilitating. It's very, very challenging. But even, and I maintain that, if I work with somebody who's depressive, I know that they have hope because they come to see me, for example. They're working with me. They have a desire to shift their situation, to move forward. Yeah, so how can we do it? What can we say?
Yeah, well, like Angela said, it's starting with that desire to do something. And there's a model that I came across some time ago. I can't remember who created this model, but the model goes with five stages, which is wishing, wanting, planning, doing, and having. So first of all, you know, in terms of moving forwards and in terms of finding that hope, usually it starts with some sort of wish. Now, the wish is kind of just like a vague idea of that's something that I'd like, or that's what we really want to move towards, but we haven't got much emotional intensity attached to it yet. So it's just a wish. It's just a vague thought. But before we can really turn this into something we move towards, we need to have some emotional connection to it. And I think that's where hope comes in. So it's that wanting. So when you want something, it's more than just a vague idea. There's an emotional attachment to it. And like hope, with hope, we have that expectation. We have some emotion that something is possible. And with wishing, I think that takes it maybe even slightly further, is that there's that emotional drive. Having the emotion, it's not even in the word emotion, there's the word motion, which emotion. Is the motion.
Moving towards.
Yeah. So with emotion is that drive, which then, once we have that emotional drive, we then need to kind of think about what we want to do. So there's a planning. And I think that's really important, is that once we have hope is great, but we have to do something with it. We have to take action, but before you take action, it helps to plan. Because there's that old saying, which is, those who fail to plan to fail. I think it goes.
Yes.
Unless I got it the wrong way around. So basically, you know, we need to have some sort of plan. So think about what action can we take. And what's really useful, I think, is to plan and kind of think about things, taking small steps. So don't think too big. Because sometimes what happens is we have these dreams. We think, yeah, this is how I want my life to be. You know, I want this castle, or I want this island, whatever it happens to be. And we have these dreams or outcomes that are so huge. And I'm not saying having huge outcomes is bad, but it's about thinking, you know, are they realistic? Mm. Or even breaking them down, though. So start by thinking, what small steps can I take? So make chunking it down into small, manageable steps. So even something that you could do today. What is, you know, maybe you have a big dream, but what is one thing that you can actually do today? It might even be just make a phone call. Mm. It might be kind of just write down your plan. Mm. But something that you can actually kind of write down and plan it. Mm. Start to plan out the bigger outcome, the smaller steps that you're going to take along the way. And once you've planned, then you take action, because you're never going to move from where you are unless you take some sort of action. And that's the agency that we talked about earlier. Yes. So it's about taking action. And the best time to take action is as soon as possible. So if it's something that you've been meaning to do, as soon as we finish today, I suggest you actually do it straight after. Because there's so many times we say, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it next Monday. And to our unconscious part of our minds, like, next Monday is always next Monday. So you get to that Monday and it's like, oh yeah, I said I'll do it next Monday. And that's next Monday. Yeah. So we keep putting it off. So as soon as possible. So I say, like, right now, as soon as we finish.
Yeah.
So there's that action. We take action and we get towards where we want. And that may take time, and that's fine. But it's noticing the small steps we take and how it gets us closer.
Yeah.
And the final stage is having. And you might think, well, you know, how could having be something that's challenging? Well, you know, there is also the issue that with having, sometimes we get something and we don't feel we deserve it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we feel, well, actually, I've done this, but I don't really deserve this. And that's something to think, well, actually, you do deserve, you've taken the action, you do deserve this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And knowing that, you know, in terms of what we do is something that we really want. It's something as well that we want, not that somebody else wants for us. Because again, sometimes we, you know, we take action, we think, well, you know, this is something I should do, or this is something that my parents would like me to do.
Yeah.
And we end up getting this and we're not happy with the result because it's not what we wanted.
Yeah. And when we bring it back to couples' relationships, for example, this might also be something that you want to discuss as a couple. What is it that we want to achieve together as a couple? So it might be just something, it might be an action point that you're working on together, step by step, having these discussions, thinking about what is it that we can do. So taking action now, for example, might be that you also start to think about something, an act of kindness. Yeah. So what can you do on a daily basis that demonstrates to each other that you still care for each other? It could be just a little thing. Write down a list of things that you would like to your partner to do for you. And then swap these lists. And they've got to be sort of simple steps, like making a cup of tea in the morning, or something that's quite easy to achieve, you know, easily achievable. But that is a step in that direction of, you know, we're working on something here together. We're creating this hopeful situation where we are looking at ways of getting out of our difficulties.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. And actually just writing that thing down or coming to the agreement, that shows that you have hope. Because if you didn't have hope, you wouldn't do it.
No.
So it's just actually even knowing that, well, yeah, if you listen to this today and think, well, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great thing, because that shows that you have hope.
Yes.
Even if you're not sure if the other person would do anything, if you kind of wanted to work things together, or, you know, it's just having some hope can be really useful.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's also important in relationships, I think, maybe, that you know, we can't hold on to hope indefinitely. Mm. Yeah, there are situations where, you know, maybe the dynamics of the relationship are abusive, and you know, we keep hoping that things will change, but they never do. And it's being aware and that, you know, there are situations where having hope is something we need to also think about. Well, you know, it's not always beneficial to hold on to hope if we're in a situation where we're being abused, of course.
No. Absolutely. So it has to tie in. This is a really important point. So, you know, situations where there's domestic violence or abuse, emotional abuse, any form of abuse, are a good scenario where it's actually really useful to think about, you know, is what I'm hoping for the right or best thing for me? So is this what I can do? Is this the best thing that I can do for myself to look after myself? So it ties in also to the concept of self-care, of, you know, paying attention to your own needs. And what is good for you? What is it that you need to do to look after yourself? And certainly staying in a relationship that is abusive, where someone is not looking after you, is not taking care of you, is not something that you need to invest your hopeful thoughts into. Absolutely.
Yeah, and just changing from that slightly back into hope again, because you mentioned self-care. So some other things that you can do that can help you find hope is, first of all, looking after yourself. And regularly, like every day, make sure you do something for yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know so many people that are so focused on helping other people or the family, and they don't look after themselves. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes I think it would be selfish to look after myself. But really, if you don't look after yourself, you can't help other people. Mm-hmm. So self-care is really important. So even if that's just taking a few minutes a day just to read, or, you know, if it's taking time for yourself to go for a walk, or, you know, putting on a face pack or whatever it happens to be, you know, go for a weekend for a massage, whatever, you know, whatever you need to do, just make sure you look after yourself. And that could be things like, you know, thinking about your diet and exercise as well. Because I think as well, to have hope, we need some sort of energy. Because as we talked about, emotions have like energy. They, you know, it has that movement in them. Absolutely. And to have energy, we need to have energy. And energy really comes from, you know, from what we eat as well.
Yeah.
It comes from exercise. Mm. So the more energy we have in our bodies, I think in many ways, the easier it is to find hope, because we can take action.
Yeah.
And what you eat, it's a little bit like how you fuel your car. You know, if your car takes sort of, you know, if your car takes gasoline, or if it takes electricity, well, let's say gasoline, you know, if you ended up thinking, well, I've run out of gasoline, I'm just going to stick some, I'll just stick some kind of like old oil in it, old kind of vegetable oil in it. You know, it's just going to, it's going to collapse. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So you have to put the right sort of fuel in. And your body needs the right sort of fuel. If we just eat rubbish food, we do feel sluggish. We feel, and if you feel sluggish, you know, if you feel like, oh, I can't get out of bed, I have no energy, it's difficult to find hope.
Yes, absolutely.
Again, with exercise, you know, exercising, going for a walk, or doing, and not necessarily exercise, call it activity. Because I know some people don't like the word exercise. Doing activity, getting your body moving, helps the flow of oxygen. Mm. When you have oxygen flowing through your system into your brain, we tend to feel more energized. And again, it's easier to find that hope that we can take action and change things.
And maybe the final point also is to hope sometimes also requires developing a different perspective, just to sort of get a sense of, is this the only way of looking at the situation through my eyes, my, you know, my slightly clouded eyes maybe. So what is really helpful also is just, of course, is to talk it through with someone else, just to ask someone else for their opinion, for their point of view, just to generate different perspectives. Is there a different way of looking at it? And if you can't find someone else to talk to, just imagine that you're talking to someone else. Just imagine that you're talking to someone who has a keen interest on you, who cares for you, and you ask them, if you describe the situation to them, you ask them what their perspective would be, what they would say to you. And they might give you a very different point of view. They might actually say, well, you know, look, your situation might not be great, but look at this or that element of it. So they might generate a very different perspective for you that helps you to think differently about the circumstances that you're in. So talking it through with someone else obviously is very helpful, or just imagining that you're talking it through with someone else in itself can be helpful as well.
Absolutely. And also, with talking it through with someone else, that could be somebody such as a professional therapist or counsellor. It doesn't have to be a friend. You know, it can be, like I said, a therapist or a counsellor. So those are other options too.
Yes, always.
And these are things that we talk about more in our program, The Relationship Maze. So, you know, we talk quite a lot about how you develop different perspectives, different ways of thinking, and it's something that we're really passionate about.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's absolutely crucial, because in the end, almost everything is about developing a different perspective and thinking about things differently, particularly if you think about them in a way that's not helpful for you. So it's all about perspective changing a lot of the time. Because ultimately, the way that we interact with other people, the way that we think about the world, is really based on our belief system, and we can change that belief system. If we can understand what gets in the way or why we have created these beliefs, we can also change them. It's a process that can generate a very different outcome. And yes, we are talking in a lot more detail in the Relationship Maze about this. So if you haven't looked at our website yet, it's therelationshipmaze.com, where you find a little bit more information about our program.
Yes, and thank you so much for listening today. And please tune into our next episode. And please share this podcast if you like it. And also like this podcast. And we look forward to seeing you at the next podcast.
Next week. Take good care. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you'd like to find out more about creating great relationships, go to therelationshipmaze.com, and I look forward to seeing you there. And remember to tune in to the next podcast.